Chapter 2. Within a week's trek, they saw elephant sign, trees broken and stripped of their bark. Although it was months old, the trees already dried out, nevertheless Sean felt the thrill of it, and that night spent an hour cleaning and oiling his rifles. The forest thickened until the wagons had to weave continually between the trunks of the trees. But there were clearings in the forest, open fleece filled with grass where buffalo grazed like herds of domestic cattle, and white tick birds squawked about them. This country was well watered, with streams as clear and merry as a Scottish trout stream. But the water was blood warm, and the banks thick with bush. Along the rivers, in the forest and in the open, were the herds of game. Impala twisting and leaping away at the first approach, with their crumpled horns laid back. Kudu, with big ears and soft eyes. Black, sable antelope, with white bellies and horns curved like a naval cutlass. Zebra, trotting with the dignity of fat ponies, while about them frolicked their companions, the gnu, waterbuck, nyala, roan antelope, and at last, elephant. Sean and Embi Janey were ranging a mile ahead of the wagons when they found the spoor. It was fresh, so fresh that sap still oozed from the mahoba-hoba tree where the bark had been prized loose with the tip of a tusk and then stripped off. The wood beneath was naked and white. "Three bulls," said Embi Janey. "One very big." "Wait here." Sean spun his horse and galloped back to the column. Duff lay on the driver's seat of the first wagon, rocking gently to its motion, his hat covering his face and his hands behind his head.
"Elephant, Duff!" Sean yelled. "Not a mile ahead of us. Get saddled up, man."
Duff was ready in 5 minutes. Embi Janey was waiting for them. He had already worked the spoor a short distance and picked up the run of it, and now he went away on it. They followed him, riding slowly side by side.
"You've hunted elephant before, laddie?" asked Duff.
"Never," said Sean.
"Good grief."
Duff looked alarmed.
"I thought you were an expert." "I think I'll go back and finish my sleep. You can call me when you've had a little more experience."
"Don't worry," Sean laughed with excitement. "I know all about it. I was raised on elephant stories."
"That sets my heart at ease," Duff murmured sarcastically, and Embi Janey glanced over his shoulder at them, not trying to conceal his irritation. "Nkosi, it is not wise to talk now, for we will soon come up with them."
So they went on in silence, passing a knee-high pile of yellow dung that looked like the contents of a coir mattress, following the oval pad marks in the dust and the trail of torn branches. It was a good hunt, this first one. The small breeze held steadily into their faces, and the spoor ran straight and hot. They closed in, each minute strengthening the certainty of the kill. Sean sat stiff and eager in the saddle, with his rifle across his lap, his eyes restlessly moving over the frieze of bush ahead of him. Embi Janey stopped suddenly and came back to Sean's stirrup.
"Here they halted for the first time. The sun's hot, and they will rest, but this place is not to their liking, and they have moved on. We will find them soon now."
"The bush becomes too thick," Sean grunted. He eyed the untidy tangle of catbush into which the spoor had led them. "We'll leave the horses here with Hilubi and go in on foot."
"Laddie," Duff demurred, "I can run much faster on horseback."
"Off," said Sean, and nodded to Embi Janey to lead.
They moved forward again. Sean was sweating,
and the drops clung heavily to his eyebrows and trickled down his cheeks. He brushed them away. The excitement was an indigestible ball in his stomach and a dryness in his throat. Duff sauntered casually next to Sean, with that small half-smile on his face, but there was a quickness in his breathing. Ember Janey cautioned them with a gesture of his hand, and they stopped. Minutes passed slowly, and then Ember Janey's hand moved again, pink-palmed eloquence. "It was nothing," said the hand. "Follow me." They went on again. There were Mopani flies swarming at the corners of Sean's eyes, drinking the moisture, and he blinked them away. Their buzzing was so loud in his ears that he thought it must carry to their quarry. His every sense was tuned to its limit, hearing magnified, vision sharp, and even his sense of smell so clear that he could pick up the taint of dust, the scent of a wild flower, and Embin Janey's faintly musky body smell. Suddenly in front of him, Ember Janey was still. His hand moved again, gently, unmistakably. "They are here," said the hand. Sean and Duff crouched behind him, searching with eyes that could see only brown bush and grey shadows. The tension coarsened their breathing, and Duff was no longer smiling. Ember Janey's hand came up slowly and pointed at the wall of vegetation in front of them. The seconds strung together like beads on the string of time, and still they searched. An ear flapped lazily, and instantly the picture jumped into focus. Bull elephant, big and very close, grey among grey shadow. Sean touched Ember Janey's arm. "I had seen it," said the touch. Slowly Ember Janey's hand swiveled and pointed again. Another wait, another searching, and then a belly rumbled, a great grey belly filled with half-digested leaves. It was a sound so ridiculous in the silence that Sean wanted to laugh. A gurgling, sloshy sound, and Sean saw the other bull. It was standing in shadow also, with long yellow ivory and small eyes tight closed. Sean put his lips to Duff's ear.
"This one is yours," he whispered. "Wait until I get into position for the other."
And he began moving out to the side, each step exposing a little more of the second bull's flank until the shoulder was open to him, and he could see the point of the elbow beneath the baggy, wrinkled skin. The angle was right. From here he could reach the heart. He nodded at Duff, brought his rifle up, leaning forward against the recoil, aiming close behind the massive shoulder, and he fired. The gunfire was shockingly loud in the confined thorn bush. Dust flew in a spurt from the bull's shoulder, and it staggered from the strike of the bullet. Beyond it, the third elephant burst from sleep into flight, and Sean's hands moved neatly on his weapon, ejecting and reloading, swinging up and firing again. He saw the bullet hit, and he knew it was a mortal wound. The two bulls ran together, and the bush opened to them and swallowed them. They were gone, crashing away, wounded, trumpeting in pain. Sean ran after them, dodging through the catbush, oblivious to the sting of the thorns that snatched at him as he passed. "This way, Nkosi," Ember Janey shouted beside him. "Quickly, or we will lose them." They sprinted after the sounds of flight. 100 yards, 200, panting now and sweating in the heat. Suddenly the cat bush ended, and in front of them was a wide river bed with steep banks. The river sand was blindingly white, and in the middle was a sluggish trickle of water. One of the bulls was dead, lying in the stream, with with the blood washing off him in a pale brown stain. The other bull was trying to climb the far bank. It was too steep for him, and he slid back wearily. The blood dripped from the tip of his trunk, and he swung his head to look at Sean and Ember Janey. His ears cocked back defiantly, and he began his charge, blundering towards them through the soft river sand. Sean watched him come, and there was sadness in him as he brought up his rifle. But it was the proud regret that a man feels when he watches hopeless courage. Sean killed him with a brain shot, quickly. They climbed down the bank into the river bed and went to the elephant. It knelt with its legs folded under it and its tusks driven deep into the sand with the force of its fall. The flies were already clustering at the little red mouths of the bullet wounds. Ember Janey touched one of the tusks, and then he looked up at Sean. "It is a good elephant." He said no more, for this was not the time to talk. Sean leaned his rifle against the bull's shoulder. He felt in his top pocket for a cheroot, and stood with it unlit between his teeth. He would kill more elephant, he knew, but always this would be the one he would remember. He stroked his hand over the rough skin, and the bristles were stiff and sharp. "Where is Nkosi Duff?" Sean remembered him suddenly. "Did he also kill?" "He did not shoot," answered Ember Janey. "What?" Sean turned quickly to Ember Janey. "Why not?" Ember Janey sniffed a pinch of snuff and sneezed. Then he shrugged his shoulders. "It is a good elephant," he said again, looking down at it. "We must go back and find him." Sean snatched up his rifle, and Ember Janey followed him. They found Duff sitting alone in the catbush, with his rifle propped beside him and a water bottle to his lips. He lowered the bottle as Sean came up and saluted him with it. "Hail the conquering hero comes!" There was something in his eyes that Sean could not read. "Did you miss yours?" Sean asked. "Yes," said Duff. "I missed mine." He lifted the bottle and drank again. Suddenly and sickeningly, Sean was ashamed for him. He dropped his eyes, not wanting to acknowledge Duff's cowardice. "Let's get back to the wagons," he said. "Ember Janey can come with pack horses for the tusks." They did not ride together on the way home.